about squeezing. You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, I think most of you know, May 1st, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. So let's get into it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
When I first heard Mr. Boombastic, it affected me in a way that your deep, sensual voice hasn't affected anyone before. I mean, it was... Has a man told you that before?
Mr. Boombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
What you did was dog... I mean, really, really awful. So here's my advice to you. You go back to whatever nook of the world you call home, and you do whatever it is you're good at. Because this is not it.
And now...
And by the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it.
Our feature presentation.
Whoop-dee-doo-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop.
He does get it.
Whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop. Poop-dee-dee-whoop-scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop-poop.
Right?
That's the song of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
That guy gets it.
I mean, do we have to open the show with it every day, do you think?
I feel like yes.
I don't know.
Yep. Bean?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I thought.
All right.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 1st of May.
Rabbit, rabbit.
All right, we got that. There got that good luck charm out of the way. Hey, many things on my mind today.
Okay.
Including the Kevin-adjacent huge police presence last night in Woodland Hills.
Oh,
you
no.
You catch wind of any of that, Kevin?
I did not.
So, tell me if this is good or bad. Residents in the 5200 block, if I remember the article correctly, of Tendrilla Avenue. Have you seen that? You know, Tendrilla?
I'm not familiar
with that street. It's in Woodland Hills.
Okay.
They look out of their house and they see a bunch of dudes running down the street with ski masks on and carrying machine guns.
Wow.
Oh, no.
So they do the right thing, which is to call 911, and the police arrive, and it turns out it's a movie shoot that is unpermitted.
Oh, jeez.
Some sort of low rent, hey, we can get away with it, and people do it all over town. People always just shoot their movies and don't bother to get the permit because it's faster and cheaper. And I guess they thought, I don't know, how could you think that people would see that and not pause, at least for a moment, and be concerned?
It's not like you were shooting a movie that was not that inflammatory. You're running down the street with machine guns. That's going to get people's attention.
It's not a dude and a lady sitting on a park bench,
right?
You know, doing a romantic scene. I mean, these are machine guns and ski masks. So there was a lot of panic. I'll tell you, for a while there until they got it all sorted out. But I don't know if there's repercussions or something like that for the movie makers. But I mean, I assume there's some sort of penalty for shooting without a permit, right?
It's funny. I did see that story, but I didn't realize it was near me.
Yes. I assumed you were involved when I saw the headline.
It's probably a good assumption.
When I saw massive police presence, I thought, what has he done? What has he done? Anyway, how are y'all?
We are good.
Good.
Watching a lot of hockey these days, I'll tell you that.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of hockey.
Chip was bringing me up to speed on all the teams that are still left. It seems like hockey season ended months ago when the Ducks and the Kings were eliminated, and there's still 8 teams left.
Seems like years
going
ago.
For the cup. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But it's been good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's fun to watch.
Chip, how are you dealing with the Predators being so good?
Can't.
They're your mortal foe, right?
I mean, they've had the Ducks' number for a number of seasons, but they've had everyone's number. But it's just... they're just good. They're fun to watch, too. So it's like you can't really hate them, but you still kind of have to. So I'm kind of, it's hard to, come to terms with it. But they're fun to watch. In Vegas is insane.
Well, that's my question, is because our stance is anybody but San Jose.
Yeah.
Because we hate San Jose. But now this is Vegas' first season, and the fans are really annoying.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of first year or whatever that sign is that they keep using. And it's almost like a whole nother group of a-hole fans are being created by this one team.
You feel like they're just going to become incorrigible.
Yes. And wouldn't we rather just – we know the San Jose fans are a-holes.
Yeah.
That's the known quantity. Now we're adding a whole nother group of a-hole fans?
Well, here's the thing. Nothing makes an NHL fan – like, nothing brings them into the fold more than heartbreak.
Right.
So let them take over the Sharks because we hate the Sharks.
Okay.
Let them lose in the Western Conference Final.
I'm fine with that.
And then
can you promise they'll lose in the Western Conference Final?
Because they can't, but we can hope.
The if I remember correctly, the Golden Knights, the Las Vegas hockey team, were 500-1 to win the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the season because they were an unknown quantity.
Yep.
First season, guys hadn't played together, and I bet there were some, you know, some Vegas homies.
Sure.
Who put a few dollars down on that just because of the excitement of having a team.
Definitely sure. Some homies.
But the way they went about it, though, a lot of people don't understand is in this expansion team, all other hockey teams had to like leave open three players for them to pick. Mm-hmm. So they sort of had a year to do prep.
Yeah, they're not getting all rookies. It's not like some bad team.
It's not an all-star team, but it's all
it's,
good
players. It's a team of second liners.
Yeah.
It's just they're relentless.
So the fans are pretty hard to deal with because they're like, oh, yeah, you guys suck. And you're like, you haven't even been through a season yet.
Right. Yeah. Forget you've never won anything.
Right.
You haven't completed a full season yet.
Right. So I don't even know if I'm rooting for San Jose in this case. I mean,
that's why I'm kind of rooting for the Preds.
For
like, I don't want to root for San Jose. I don't want like Vegas is fun to watch, but I think I got to root for the Preds. Right
yeah,
now.
I think so too.
Have you been to that new Las Vegas arena where they play hockey?
Not yet. That's on my goal for next year.
Yeah, it looks pretty. Looks cool.
It is beautiful. Yeah,
I don't know that pretty's the word.
No, but. It's not pretty, but
it's not pretty. But all right, well that's exciting.
Yes.
All right, I've used up all the time. I'm sorry.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I thought I could trust you with this special job, Kevin.
comedian Frank Caliendo will join us in studio.
Yeah, I love Frank.
Love him. Haven't talked to him in quite some time. We have, you haven't done your taxes yet. Muggs, yesterday after the meeting, said, hey, are we supposed to have done our taxes?
Oh, no.
And we said, yeah, you know, you got a day extra or 2 days extra, and then the internet went down for the IRS, and then you got another day extra. But I believe like April 17, 18, somewhere around there, it was due.
He at least filed an extension, right?
Ooh.
So Bean said, you had filed an extension, though, and he just sat there quietly. I was like, he didn't file an extension.
But I have questions, and I'm glad we're talking to our audience about this, about their experiences, because I feel like if you are owed money by the government, which might be the case with Muggs, that they're not even going to come looking for you.
It's only if you owe them that you're on their radar?
Do you think they have enough time to decide who they're going to owe and who owes them so that they can pick who to go after or not? I feel like
I don't know, but I when I read Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, he didn't file taxes until he was 35 years old. Okay.
I think that's relatively normal if you don't make much money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I feel like you can kind of get away with that if your income is low enough and or if you don't owe the government money. So I think we need to I'm not saying we're going to counsel Muggs to continue to not pay taxes.
We may, though.
But we may hear from our listeners that it's no big sweat if he doesn't.
Yeah. So Muggs, again, leading the way. Got to tell you, love that dude.
I hope the man isn't listening.
And we've also got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast as well. Tickets are on sale now, but we're going to give them to you for Listener Oki in the 7 o'clock hour and in the fourth row this morning. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
What's happening? In your butt.
Hey, Allie.
Oh. Do I have to answer that, or can I just...
I think you should start with that. And then,
okay, yeah. I mean, nothing really.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's disappointing.
Is it? Odd. I dropped the ball, you guys. In a huge way. And I dropped the ball, and this is going to affect Kevin.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
What'd you do?
To remind you that Dancing with the Stars athletes started last night. Oh, man. All we wanted to do was watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar dance.
He didn't get kicked off, did he? Did he get kicked off?
Kevin, he had the lowest score.
Right.
He got a 17 out of 30 for the cha-cha-cha.
Right.
However, it's a double elimination on the first week.
Okay.
It's only a four-week season, mind you.
Oh, okay.
The 10 stars did their first dance. Judges' votes were then tallied with audience votes.
Okay.
Kareem is safe, you guys.
Oh, the audience
Kareem
came through.
Kareem is safe. Yes.
Even though he was terrible, he's just so beloved that the audience voted for
him. He's a legend. You're not going to let him go the first week, especially when a lot of us didn't know it was on.
Right.
Hey, forgive me for being so out of the loop on this, but are there a lot of big stars like Kareem?
Well, let me tell
competing?
You. There is Olympic loser Chris Metzger.
So you got him.
Softball player Jenny Finch Daigle.
All right, we know Jenny.
Olympic snowboarder Jamie Anderson.
Okay.
Olympic skater Mirai Nagasu, who's from Southern California. Mm-hmm. Love her. Notre Dame basketball player Erica Agunbowale.
Okay.
Olympic skater Adam Rippon.
All right.
Oh, there's
baseball
a big star.
Player Johnny Damon.
Okay.
Football player Josh Norman. And Olympic skater Tanya Harding.
Oh, the Notorious.
Mm.
And Kareem.
I
did see her movie mom, Allison Janney, was there last night for Dancing with the Stars.
Isn't that nice to have that support?
Yeah.
We talked about this when it was announced, and Stryker just lost it because he was remembering a Splash. Do you remember that? Diving with the Stars, Splash?
Yes!
And it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Louis Anderson.
Yes.
They were supposed to do some kind of synchronized thing, and they basically just fell at different times, and Stryker could not stop laughing.
I don't think he has stopped laughing.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
He was, I'm not kidding, mean tears, and then his glasses fogged up.
All right, I have some.
We did a deep dive on that.
I have some Louis Anderson on Splash tape. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Of course you do.
Let's hear some of this.
400 pounds going in the water, it's a lot easier than getting 400 pounds out of the water. The first time I had to get out of the pool was my most embarrassing moment. It's humiliating.
I played professional football in the NFL, and it was still taxing for me to pull Louis out of the pool.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
So Louis was having some issues just having his shirt off, separate from the diving.
That was some uplifting tape.
No kidding. Well, I didn't know what it was. I mean, it's been on this machine for 20 years. I just saw that it was there.
I love it. Here's the thing. Jamie Anderson, gone. Olympic snowboarder. And Johnny Damon, gone.
Okay.
Those were the double elimination eliminates. What? It's not even a word.
Are these, is it only a four-week season because these athletes presumably are too busy to commit to the regular full-length season?
I hope so.
Don't know. Is it more than one night?
Great question.
Okay,
guys.
We're going to do some research.
I'll do a deep dive
you
into
won't.
This. It's it's only 4 weeks, but I think it's because they probably have another season lined up, like ready to go, right?
Could be.
Wouldn't you think? This seems to be on all the time.
Most of the dancers are pretty short, and that's why I love the idea of Kareem out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sad we missed his cha-cha-cha.
Same.
Right. I hope the foxtrot or the salsa is next with him. How much are you guys paying for movie tickets?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Because I go to the Arclight.
Okay.
And it's the best theater
right.
to go to. But it's about $16-17.
Okay.
Yeah.
The average ticket price for a movie in North America just jumped 3.6% from a year ago. The average price is $9.16. That's the average across America.
Yeah.
That seems really high. Back to you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that. Wow. Remember when
you
it was
see
a
it?
Nickel?
You want to see it?
What?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah, the movies in the Depression?
Didn't like your grandpa's always used to say that? I remember when a movie was a nickel, you'd get all the popcorn you could eat.
Yeah, but when your grandpa says it, it makes sense.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was never really a nickel for me. I never really remember it under like 5 or 6.
But if you want to watch it in 3D, it is like an extra $3 or $4
on
per
top
ticket.
Of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you'll be happy to know that Black Panther has generated 22% of the first quarter movie revenue, pulling down $648 million. Without Black Panther, what would our ticket prices be?
True.
Right? Thank you, Black Panther, is all I'm saying. I need to get with Omar and figure out how he's dealing with a big breakup
Uh-oh.
In the Jersey Shore community. I'll have that for you next hour. It's probably the worst tease I've ever done. Some birthdays for you. Director Wes Anderson, actress Julie Benz, actor Jamie Dornan, and what should be Bean's mortal enemy, singer Ray Parker Jr. But Bean, explain to me again why you don't hate him.
I'm just a fan of his work, and he seems like a nice guy as long as he's not throwing ice cream at you.
But he did throw ice cream at your wife.
At
he did.
Your wife.
He did do that, and I and
what
I
does
no,
it take?
And I in no way forgive that. That was a right. terrible thing. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't eliminate all of the great work he's done since. Look, this is the classic argument that we've had for centuries is whether you can separate the art from the person.
Right, but most of the time, the person isn't someone you know. Most True. Of the time, it's how they treated a random person.
Right. It isn't somebody that literally chucked ice cream at your wife's head.
I have seen her be sad as I'm listening to Ray Parker Jr. in the house sometimes.
She's reliving those moments.
It was a very painful time for her.
All right, we're going to talk about this later. That's what's happening.
You got your tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast coming up in the next hour. You're going to have to do listener-oke. So pick your favorite song, be ready to sing it. And when we tell you to call, you can win those tickets.
Oh, that's a delightful way to wake up is listening to people sing.
Right?
Isn't it? Also, the very funny comedian and one of the best impressionists in the world, our friend Frank Caliendo, joins us later on this morning. I love this story so much, you guys, you're almost not going to believe it, but it unfolded on Twitter a couple of nights ago. Her name is Tia Freeman. She is in the Air Force. She lives in Nashville. And she is one of these ladies who did not know she was pregnant until pretty late in her pregnancy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Which is such a surprise because if you've ever known a pregnant woman, their entire lives change from about 4 months in. They can't control their bodies. They can't control their emotions. They got a million appointments. I mean, they're busy. Pregnancy becomes a full-time job for most women. This woman didn't even know she was pregnant until she was in her third trimester. She said, by the way,
that's got to be a crazy, weird surprise. Oh, yes. Not only are you pregnant.
Yes.
But you're going to deliver within 3 months.
Yes, exactly. She said she was in shock. She never saw herself as a mom before. She was very career-oriented. As I mentioned, she was in the Air Force. She says, before you ask about birth control, the one I was on made it so that I did not have a cycle every month. So I was not having a period was not an indicator for me. On top of that, I didn't really gain any weight. So again, she's a little bit of an anomaly for most women, right? All right. So even though she's pregnant. On March 7th, she took a 14-hour flight to Istanbul, Turkey, where she had an overnight layover en route to Germany.
Okay.
After eating the in-flight meal, she began to feel sick. You can see where this is going.
Oh.
She chalked it up to food poisoning at first, but at the airport in Istanbul, it dawned on her that maybe there was another explanation. She says, I'm literally gripping the railing, trying to make it through the line. At this point, I feel like I'm getting ready to pass out. I was sweating. I felt like I had to vomit. I'm going through it. And then it was occurred to me, wait a minute, bitch, you're in labor.
In labor.
In Istanbul, what? Turkey, by the way. So she takes the previously arranged transportation from the airport. Where? To a hospital, you might hope?
Of course. Think.
Nope, to her hotel room. Ooh. She said that she nixed the idea of going to the hospital for several reasons. Not many people spoke English that she encountered there. She also didn't know what the country's emergency number was, which seemed like the type of thing maybe you could work around that, right? Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how her insurance would work overseas, so she just decided to DIY it.
Oh, God.
That's incredibly insane and risky.
It does seem like there are a lot of things that can go wrong in, I don't know, delivering a human from your belly, right?
I feel like there's going to be less people in her hotel room that don't speak English than would be doctors at a hospital.
Plus insurance and all that, you go, it'll get taken care of later, right?
Yeah.
Now, how in a million years would you ever begin knowing how to deliver your own baby? I mean, I know you can think through, okay, I push and at some point the kid's going to come out. But it seems like I wouldn't want to be the person responsible for knowing all the things you're supposed to do to ensure that kid's safety and survival in its first few minutes.
She
right?
called the bellman, I'm sure.
Well,
oh, hell no.
In true millennial form, she says, I decided to YouTube it.
Nope.
Yes.
Did you say YouTube it?
She decided to YouTube it.
So now she's not only DIYing her birth, she's setting up a camera and getting ready to...
Oh, no, she's looking it up.
Oh, looking it up.
How to deliver a baby.
I thought you meant she was posting it.
No, 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 no.
She doesn't have enough to worry about?
How do I look for my Facebook Live? She said, I knew the internet would have my back. So here my ass is in a hotel room all by my lonesome trying to learn how to deliver my own baby. So she grabbed two towels, one to wrap her baby in and the other to bite onto while she gave birth.
Wow.
And according to the YouTube tutorial she read, she filled the bathtub with warm water. And she learned that she should begin to push hard once the contractions were a minute apart. After just a few pushes, the baby popped out and floated right up on top of the water.
And then walked on that water.
It was a boy. And by the way, how unbelievably lucky is this woman every step of the way? Not the least of which is it sounds like her labor was only a few minutes long.
Yeah, this is all insane.
Aren't there women who, like my mother, for instance, who are in labor for 30 hours?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What would she have done? What would she have done if she's in that bathtub by herself there and it started to turn into a 5, 10, 15-hour thing?
I have no idea. That seems incredibly dangerous for her own health and especially for her baby's health.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Freeman then had to figure out a procedure for removing an umbilical cord without the proper tools. After checking online, she sterilized her shoelaces by boiling them in water and used them as clamps as she cut the cord. After all of this, the new mother still didn't go to the hospital. Instead, she cleaned the bathroom because it looked like the set of a horror movie, she said, and then went to bed with her newborn son. So she still hadn't gone to the hospital at that point.
How is any of this possible?
I know.
I'm calling BS on a lot. Where is she boiling water in a hotel room?
Great question.
Don't know the answer to that unless she
stayed with
a kitchenette that had a microwave. Or maybe she didn't boil it as much as she just turned it on hot and just let it run and let it get as hot as it could.
Yeah.
So I clean up the bathroom, I breastfeed my baby, and I go to sleep. No, I did not go to the hospital. I went to bed. So the next day I wake up for and get ready to go to the airport because I'd already paid for the cab the night before, even though I knew I couldn't fly out. Now remember, she's on a layover trying to get to Germany. She's on Istanbul, Turkey. Now, here's where it gets weird. She gets to the airport.
Here's where it gets weird.
Yeah, she's already delivered her own baby, but here's where it gets weird. She gets to the airport the next day. There was a lot of confusion. They thought I was a human trafficker trying to smuggle out a baby. When I get to the airport, workers are freaking out because you can tell this baby is fresh. I legit didn't have any baby clothes, and I made him something out of my favorite blue oversized button-down. Anyway, they thought I was a human trafficker trying to smuggle out a baby. But Freeman and her son were examined and her story checked out, and the airport staff apparently were very nice. They even helped her name her son, by the way, which is Xavier. The ladies at the airport who helped me said that he should have a cute Turkish name, so his middle name is Ata. I don't know what that means. By the way, pictures of all of this stuff. Then they take her to the U.S. Embassy in Turkey, where her son was issued a birth certificate and passport so he could leave the country.
So now she not only gave birth herself,
right.
Now the very next day she's going to take that baby on a flight?
Yeah, I didn't think that was possible.
This doesn't seem like it.
I don't think that's legal.
Well, no, she said in the earlier tweet that I read that she had already paid for the cab to go to the airport, so she decided to take it even though she knew she couldn't fly out.
Okay.
She just thought she'd take advantage of the transportation that she had to get out of the hotel, I guess. At this point, finally, after the embassy and the passport and the birth certificate, she was then transported to the hospital where they were examined, and both mother and son received a clean bill of health. She remained in Istanbul for 2 more weeks, and Turkish Airlines paid for her stay in full. So, I mean, you look at the story, and by the way, she's just so smiling and happy in all these photos. The kid is adorable. It looked like overall, thank God, in retrospect, it was a perfect experience, it sounds like. She says she's so excited to be able to tell her son this story when he grows up. No one in her family, by the way.
My kid's going to say, Mom, why didn't you care about me?
You had no idea I was coming.
Right?
No one in her family even knew she was pregnant, by the way. She hadn't even told anybody that she was pregnant. They all found out a couple days after she was born. So there you go. For all the people who have heard crazy stories about complicated and difficult births, this lady did it a little different, didn't she?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
We just tweeted out that from the at Kevin and Bean, we just tweeted out that story about the lady who delivered her own baby in her bathtub in Turkey, by the way, if you want to see the photos. And Allie's already trying to poke holes in it. Already trying to believe it didn't happen.
I mean, parts of it do seem unlikely.
Some parts are suspect. I'd like to read more.
Such a feel-good, happy story. I don't know why you have to drink the Haterade. Come on. All right. 6:51. It is Tuesday morning. Allie is here with another look at what's happening.
Well, what's happening is this Friday, you guys, it is another one of those guys' nights out.
Yay!
Yes. Right now, you can RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys at thebike.com. We're talking Dave, beer mug, Kevin. That is a good time.
It's fun.
Right?
Yep.
So yesterday, we gave you a spot to play poker at Kevin's table. Today, a spot to play poker at Beer Mug's table. Again, it is K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino this Friday. So not only a spot at Beer Mug's table, but you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200. Winner must be 21 plus. So give a call right now if you are caller 21 at 1-800-520-1067. You are going to get that spot to play at Beer Mug's table.
I'd like to suggest that if you're at Beer Mug's table, every time he loses a hand, you insist on him singing Shaggy. Oh.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
Every single time.
I mean, it's uncanny. You would think that was Shaggy. That is actually Beer Mug.
When does Beer Mug get to record his album with Sting?
Hopefully very soon. Very, very soon. Talked about it last hour. Jersey Shore's Ronnie. I think he's the one that used to be with Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's with a woman named Jen. They just had a baby, like, really recently. Like, within a month, I think. But they have hit the skids. If you didn't hear, they had a real ugly showdown on social media over the weekend. They accused one another of using drugs and keeping sex videos with other partners. And then appeared to get physical during a live feed on Instagram yesterday.
Ooh.
So not a great situation out there, especially when it's you're live streaming your arguments. What is happening?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Apparently, Ronnie has apologized for everything, but they just can't make it work out, and they are done. So,
if those kids can't make it, you
that's
know?
What I'm saying.
What
right?
hope do the rest of us have?
So, congrats on that newborn baby girl.
I don't know that it's over. I mean, just because Ronnie said you can't turn a natural born hoe into a housewife, if you find them in the gutter, leave them in the gutter. And then his wife Jen writes back, "You can't turn a cokehead into a father." So it doesn't sound like they've got problems they can't work out.
Yeah, they could work that out pretty easily. Sure, right?
Quick apology, move right on.
Bygones, bygones.
And the kid is like what, 2 weeks old?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Super.
Super. Congratulations, America! Renewed that show.
Allie hates it so much.
So mad. So we talked to Harvey Levin yesterday about Kanye West and the cover of his new album possibly being a photo of Dr. Jan Adams. That's the plastic surgeon who treated his mom, and she passed away from complications, supposedly, of the plastic surgery, whether it was a heart condition or not, who knows. Well, Dr. Adams has reached out to the rapper and said, "Hey, thank you, but no thank you. Please don't use my picture." And then The Blast posted the open letter to Kanye, which is, it details pretty much from start to finish what happened during the surgery, during aftercare, what should have happened, and then essentially blames Kanye's cousin for not taking care of his mother, and that's the reason she's dead. An open letter. It is insanity. So Kanye tweeted back, quote, "This is amazing. Thank you so much for this connection, brother. I can't wait to sit with you and start healing."
Sit with you?
What is happening? What is going on?
Boop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop.
See, I think you could tell what's going on with that.
I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Now
any other questions?
No, I don't. I rest my case, Your Honor. Dwayne Johnson in a movie with John Cena. Who's in?
Me.
Me too. It's going to be called The Janssen Directive. Cena is going to play a former Navy SEAL turned corporate security consultant. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, world-class CIA agent. He retires and also decides to go into business as private security. but only takes assignments that he believes will lead to helping those in need. I need more funny. That just sounds like an action. I need those two being funny together.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I can see that, sure.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird how Hollywood puts Dwayne The Rock Johnson now in 8 movies a year?
At least, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And John Cena, I feel like, is on his way to that as well. So those two together, I don't hate it, you guys. Same. Matter of fact, I kind of like it. Anybody into seeing Mariah Carey at her residency in Las Vegas?
Is there still gambling and alcohol in Las Vegas?
There is indeed.
Okay, no.
Yes, no? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, she announced yesterday that The Butterfly Returns will be the title of her concert residency at Caesar's Palace. Begins July 5th and runs off and on through September. Tickets will go on sale this Friday. But Vegas, that's just the thing now. You just get a residency. You make life pretty easy for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's best case scenario because you can stay at home.
Absolutely.
Everybody comes to you.
Yeah.
Seems cool.
Fly in every other weekend
sure.
if you want. No big deal. I think Brit had the right idea, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of like the OG.
Pretty cool gig.
Pretty cool. So you've got Mariah. You've got Blink-182. Mm-hmm. J-Lo. Mm-hmm.
Santana.
Celine Dion's still doing it.
Right.
Not bad. Right?
Yeah. Some good options.
Gwen Stefani,
all that's right. Good Lord, Vegas. Doing it up. Bill Cosby might be sentenced to 3 decades behind bars, but he's not going to be doing the hard time that you think of.
Somehow I was assuming that.
Yeah, because he would be put in a special needs cell because he's nearly blind, I guess, has mobility issues. So he'd have it not so bad there. Not so much chain gang. Is there still a chain gang?
They do that? I don't think so.
Do they pound out license plates?
I don't. I'm not
any of that
about
real?
That either.
Or is that just in the
probably
movies?
Probably just watching the movies.
I think so. All right. And in case you're keeping track, looks like Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik are back together,
oh,
you guys.
Yes.
Right? They announced they're split in March, but not sure why you're getting papped all over the place smooching each other. But thank God. Thank God that young love is surviving, you guys. Next hour.
That also makes up for Ronnie and
Bobby,
Smoochie,
Ricky and Mike.
Whoever those two are from Jersey Shore.
I think you're thinking Snooki.
Yes.
And I don't think they've ever been together.
The situation.
This is Ronnie and Jen.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, me neither. I know what you do care about, and I will have it next hour.
Okay.
A royal update.
Oh, yes!
It is May 1st. The countdown begins.
When's
royal
the wedding?
Watch coming up. 19 more days.
Oh, it's going to be an intolerable 19 days.
I hope to have at least one, hopefully more, kind of big story each day leading up to. Care about that?
Oh, your mic's cutting out.
Oh, is it?
That's weird.
It is odd.
How that's happening.
How about now? Can you hear it
now? It's good.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Royal watch next hour. Coming up, some birthdays. Nope, I'll do them right now. Wow. Here's the thing.
Turn the mic back on too early,
right?
I had a migraine yesterday. So today's the migraine hangover feeling where nothing really is working.
Sure.
Congratulations, everyone.
Well, thanks for being here today.
Thanks
that's
for
difficult.
Listening. Actor Jamie Dornan, director Wes Anderson, actress Julie Benn, singer Ray Parker Jr. That's what's happening.
In about a half hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. It's listener-oki, so you just have to pick your favorite song from one of the bands that's playing and sing that song for us when we tell you to call, and it's coming up a little bit later on this hour.
Blink 182, Panic at the Disco, Rise Against, Dirty Heads, Mike Shinoda, from the fourth row. Come on now.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Right. Right. Frank
right.
Caliendo, impressionist and comedian, joins us in 1 hour. First, though, hey, Muggs.
Hi, Bean. Hi, guys. How's everybody doing
this
morning?
We are good. How are you?
I don't know if I'm going to be... a free citizen much longer.
how long have you been working on this show now, Muggs?
I believe I've been here since 2007. I started as an intern.
Okay, that's a lot of years. And I just wanted to say...
Wait, we promoted you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to say how remarkable it is that after all this time, more than 10 years in, Muggs still has the ability to shock us like he did yesterday in the meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't be shocking, but it always is.
Muggs piped up yesterday, and what even made you think about this, by the way, on the last day of April? What made you think of your tax situation? Is it just something you've been carrying around and felt like you had to share?
Exactly that, being it was the last day in April, and I knew that tax day is usually in the middle of April, and I was sitting during our meeting, and my hamster wheel was spinning, and I was thinking, huh, I sure haven't even filed for my tax return or done anything so close Muggs, to the matter.
So Muggs says that, and then everybody says, but you filed for an extension. Nothing out of Muggs. No.
Right. I don't think I did that either.
Nope.
And, I think you'd remember.
And the deal, yeah. The deal with that is you're not required to, if I understand correctly, and again, we're going to be taking calls at 1-800-520-1067 from people who are far more knowledgeable about the tax code than we are. But my understanding is you have to file an extension and you have to estimate how much you owe if you owe money. Otherwise, the government starts adding a whole bunch of taxes on top of the money that you'll eventually
have. Yeah, it can be 5 to 25% per month.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
Which is insane.
Whoa.
It does seem illegal, by the way, but it's not because it's the government. They make the laws. But if they owe you money, and this is where my question comes in, do they even notice if you don't file your taxes?
That's what, in other words, do they even care?
Yeah, do they even care? Right, because you're making them money if you're not making that transaction come through.
Mm.
So, Muggs, what's your tax history? Were you current before this year?
Yeah, last year, everything was fine. I did owe the state about $2,000, which I didn't have at the time. So mm-hmm. they went ahead and garnished my wages for my paycheck.
Oh.
So you're already on that list.
Yeah.
And then this year you didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. So
you know they keep an eye on, they red flag you when you
when you get garnished?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, this is going to be a problem,
their radar,
child.
Yes. For sure.
All right.
Yes.
Muggs, why didn't you file your taxes or an extension this year?
I just, I'm not responsible. I think that's what it is.
How have you been the last, say, 10 years? Have you done it all 9 years, or is it spotty?
It's spotty.
Every once in a while?
It's spotty. Okay. You know, sometimes I go through like a like an independent accountant to have them do it. Sometimes I'll try to do it myself, mm-hmm. which is always a failure.
Yeah.
I end up having to go to someone to, mm-hmm. to clean it up.
Why do you try it yourself? I'm just curious.
So you don't have to pay anybody.
Right, but you know it doesn't work.
Well, you know those TurboTax programs?
Yeah.
Usually, I mean, it looked good on the commercial I was watching.
Sure.
Do your taxes yourself.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Just follow these quick, easy steps and everything will be great.
I did my own taxes for many years, by the way, because they were very simple.
Right, you know, but Bean, you're not Muggs.
I'm also not married with a child, and I wouldn't understand how to process all of that paperwork either. So,
yeah.
I mean, when I was a single guy, it was easy. I would just sit down and just do it in a few minutes. But all right, so we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067 and find out if you can get away with not filing your taxes. Have you not filed your taxes for a year or 2 years or 5 years and nothing ever happened?
Hi, guys.
Not that we're suggesting that. Oh, hey, Dave.
Look, I've been where Muggs is at, you know.
A lot of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that maybe I didn't file taxes for about 5 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally did, everything was cool. So I'm telling Muggs.
They didn't go back and.
They owed me money, so they didn't care.
Do you know that you can only get money from them for the last 3 years?
Yes.
That after that,
yes,
they keep it and there's no refund.
I did know that.
How is that fair?
It's your fault. You didn't do it. But listen.
Make the laws, Muggs.
God. 5, 6 years, if they owe you money, you're good. Muggs, everything's okay. Don't worry about it, dude. Just like jury duty, they won't even notice you.
All right.
That's necessarily the best advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You're in Muggs' category where you haven't filed, and maybe you haven't filed for years. And what happens? And people who actually know
nothing.
What happens could also call.
Nothing
Dave
happens.
Says nothing happens. So that's
nothing happens.
That's great news. But we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. All right, just ahead of the strokes, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Leo from Rosemead. You did not file taxes?
No, I haven't filed in about 4 years.
4 years, okay.
Okay, and how come, if you don't mind me asking?
Actually, honestly, it's been procrastination.
Okay, that's a good excuse
for 4 years.
Not a good excuse, but it is one.
Leo is very busy, you guys. All right, so what happened? Are you hearing anything from the government? Are they writing you every day?
The government, you know, when they owe you money, I find that they're very nice.
Oh, okay. How about that?
Yeah, so they don't, they're not, you know, they don't care to write me a letter. So
they're just happy to keep your money.
Yeah.
You keep doing. They wrote me a letter kindly asking if I may pay.
Okay, we gotta go. Thank you.
give you your chance at fourth row tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in about 5 minutes. First, though, we're trying to help out our man Beer Mug. We found out yesterday in the office that Muggs has not yet filed his taxes for 2018. And although we certainly would encourage that decision, is it the worst thing in the world if you don't file your taxes, particularly if the government owes you money? So we're taking calls from listeners right now to find out what their experiences have been with this at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we go to Van Nuys, say hi to our man Victor first on line three, please.
Can I just make an observation
quick? Yes.
You know when we do call-ins about ghost stories?
Mm-hmm.
All women.
Right, because women are crazy.
Because women are crazy.
Right.
Notice the lines? All men.
Because men are dumb.
So I'm gonna take some crazy over you, jackass.
You don't know that these aren't ladies named Eddie, Louie, and Nick. You don't know, man.
Good call. You're right.
All right, Victor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. How's it going? Big fan.
It's going well. Thank you. How long has it been since you paid taxes?
It's been about 7 years since the last time I did it. So I filed my taxes. The last time I had a stable job, and now I've been jumping from job to job, you know. Anyways, about 10 years ago, they owed me an $1,100 check, the federal, and they never paid me. It never got to me. I went to the federal building twice to complain and filled out a form, stamped it, sent it into Sacramento, and nothing since then.
Hmm. So, in other words, you didn't file taxes for those years, and then so they held up your refund. They wouldn't give it to you.
I don't think it was because of that, because when I complained, it was like, you know, maybe less than a year after. And, you know, I'm like, where's my check? And then nothing.
Hmm. Well, I guess bad behavior goes both ways, huh, Victor?
Oh, look at that.
I guess the government can play hardball, too, just like you. Interesting. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go down to line four, please, San Gabriel. Let's say hi to Will. Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. How long did you not file taxes?
It was 4 years.
Four years?
And then when I did end up filing, I got back about right around $30,000, maybe even more.
Whoa!
What?
What company are you a CEO for? What is this? $30,000.
I have a really good job, and then I also own apartments and stuff like that.
It's possible that you're having them withhold too much.
No. I actually file 13 on my federal whatever that is, W-4.
I got to tell you, if the government owed me that kind of money, I would not file for 4 years. I'd be filing the minute I got my last W-2.
I'm not responsible in certain aspects of my life. Like right now, I'm driving with no tags.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
Look, you got to have priorities.
Thank you for the call. It sounds like, Bugs, you need to not file for 3 more years, so then you get your $30,000 back at the end of it.
Sounds good to me. All right. Let's go to Louie, who is calling us from Hemet. Good morning, Louie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How's it going?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Okay. I went 6 years, no taxes.
6 years without filing tax. All right. And what happened?
Filed, I got like a little over $1,000 back, but I had to owe them back like at least $400, I believe it was, a little over $400.
Okay. So it was still a win.
It was just due to not having the health care.
Okay. All right. Good chat. I feel like we could try to understand that situation more, but why? All right, let's try Nick Granada Hills. By the way, Allie, they're all dudes.
Yeah.
And hearing from these dudes, it's becoming clear why they're not paying their taxes. Nick in Granada Hills, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. What happened, Nick?
Awesome. So I had worked for a while, and then ended up losing my job due to downsizing, so I went back to school. And while I was at school, my only source of income was financial aid. So I didn't file for about 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And because I wouldn't owe anything, they just never came after me. Now, mind you, when I had a job, they were on me, like, for everything. If I borrowed for my 401k, anything, they were all over me. And after that, when they owe you money or if you just don't owe, they don't seem to care because I'm back to working again, filed my taxes promptly, but I still haven't heard anything about the years that I never filed.
How about that?
Look
That's
that.
Interesting. So the key is to not to ever be on their radar for the wrong reasons. Like Muggs, for instance, may already be screwed because he's already been garnished from the state.
So. I think he's gonna get some sort of audit notice for sure. It just depends on if it's going to be now or within like a few years.
I mean, not if he keeps moving, right?
Right?
Muggs, I hate to say this, and thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Nick, but I hate to say this, but it may be time to fake your own death.
I might have to get a passport as well.
Okay. Fake your own death is a little more extreme, though, Muggs.
I don't want to kill myself. I love life right. too much.
Fake Wait, your own.
Okay. Oh, all right. Holy crap.
Do we have to explain fake your own death?
The first word is fake. I can't believe Muggs isn't one of these callers.
All right. We're going to give away tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. What we're looking
I love life too much.
What we're looking for is listener-oki. So if you want to sing a song from one of the bands that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast, call now. We're going to clear the lines, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll play the game next. I want to mention that there are still some tickets available for the K-Rock Weenie Roast. If you'd like to go to AXS.com, you can still buy some of those.
It's a week from Saturday, by the way.
Correct. Can't wait.
I don't want to fake my own death because I love my life too much.
That happened. That was just said. Muggs is gold.
He's amazing.
He really is.
All right. That band right there is one that you can sing a song from. Maybe you like something from Panic at the Disco or Dirty Heads or The War on Drugs, Bishop Biggs or Briggs.
Either one.
As I've heard it both ways. Whatever song you like, we want you to sing it. It's time for Kevin and Bean's Listener-oki.
Listener-oki, listener-oki. That's the game we're going to play. Listener-oki, listener-oki. Come and sing and don't be late.
All right, let's start with Jorge in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jorge.
Morning.
What song are you going to do for us today?
Well, I wanted to sing First Date by Blink-182.
Oh, all right. Very nice.
Here's Jorge.
Okay. In the car, I just can't wait to pick you up on our very first date. Is it cool if I hold your hand? Is it wrong if I think it's limit dance? Do you like my stupid hair? Would you guess that and you know what to wear? I'm just scared of what you think. You made me nervous, so I really can't eat. Then I'm out. Let's go.
Jorge, you were going to sing it, though. Remember, you said you were gonna sing it.
What he means to say is, well done. Hold on.
I mean, technically, I guess you're still in the running to win the tickets.
All right, let's go to Janelle in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
I mean, good. I wasn't wrong. He wasn't singing, right? Okay, all right.
Just sort of talking.
Yeah. All right, Janelle, good morning. Welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on with you today?
Not much. Just trying to win Weenie Roast tickets.
All right. What are you going
to
do for us?
I'm singing Kill Your Heroes by AWOL Nation.
Ooh. All right. Let's hear it.
Here's Janelle.
Well, I met an old man dying on a train. No more destination, no more pain. Well, he said one thing before I graduate. Never let your fear decide your fate. I say you kill your heroes and fly.
All right. I see what you're going for there. Very nice.
I mean, I feel like she was singing, mm-hmm. So that's a step up.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something about AWOL Nation. You'll be surprised, A, how good they are live, and B, how many songs they have that you know. They don't stick. You know, you don't think, oh, that's AWOL Nation, but then you hear it and you go, oh, I love that song too.
All right, let's go to Sal in Long Beach. Hi, Sal.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're doing Listener-oki. What do you want to sing for us?
Well, I'm going to do Points of Authority. It's a Linkin Park song, but I'm going to do Mike Shinoda's verse.
Okay, well done. Go ahead.
Here we go. Forfeit the game before somebody else takes you out of the frame. Put your name in shame. Cover up your face. You can't run the race. The pace is too fast. Just won't last. You love the way I look at you.
I feel like you're losing steam right there, but
it was a good start.
I did.
You did. All right, no worries.
Look, I love white people rapping, so I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Let's go to Jenna in Simi Valley. Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
What song are you going to do for us?
I write Sims Not Tragedies, Panic at the Disco.
Oh, right. I have a good feeling about this. Have fun.
Here's Jenna.
Oh, well, imagine as I'm pacing the pews in the church corridor and I can't help but to hear, no, I can't help but to hear an exchanging of words. What a beautiful wedding. What a beautiful wedding, says the bridesmaid to a waiter. What a shame the poor groom's bride is a whore.
All right.
I chime in with the haven't you people ever heard of.
Okay. Look All right.
Goddamn door, no.
Very, very good. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you. Very well done.
All right. Hold on. Hold on.
I'm not lying. I thought that was good, you guys.
Let's go to Jade in Lawndale. Hi, Jade.
Hi, guys.
Good morning. Welcome to Listener-oki. What are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing River by Bishop Briggs.
All right. Bold move. Go ahead.
shut your mouth, baby, stand and deliver. Holy hands, oh, they make me a sinner. Like a river, shut your mouth and run me like a river.
Whoa.
Ooh,
whoa.
I'm pregnant.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm pregnant. Oh, that's what well I thought you said. Done, okay. Jade.
Jade, where are you right now where you're able to sing like that?
I'm just driving my car to work.
Okay, all right, so you are by yourself. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Hang on.
I'm definitely alone.
Okay, hold on.
That was real good, you guys.
Let's go to Tawny in Corona. Hi, Tawny.
Hi.
Good morning. What song are you going to sing for us?
All the Small Things by Blink-182.
All right, here's Tawny.
Stay in slow, I will not go. Turn the lights off, carry me home. Keep your head still, I will be still. And I will go off, I will windmill.
I'm not positive.
Has, multiple personalities, apparently.
Are there three of you?
It's my daughter in the back of the car.
Oh, that's
well,
very nice.
You're a very cool mom. All right, hang on, Tawny. We'll just make you wait a minute. Let's go on to Karen. By the way, Anaheim, line 7. A lot of ladies in competition here this
morning. Yeah, true. Hey, Karen.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for holding on. What are you going to sing for us?
Celebrate by Dirty Heads.
All right. Here's Karen.
Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans from the stage I'm standing on. I want you to know I appreciate it. One day I'll come home and we can celebrate it. Mom, I gotta go, the curtain's calling. All the way from Rome, I'm really sorry. Tell my little sister, I said, hey, one day I'll come home and we can celebrate.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
She told a story with that one. All right, we got time for just one more, then we got to vote.
Let's make it Becky in La Palma. Hi there.
Hi there.
Thanks for holding on. What are you going to sing for us?
I've got some AWOL Nation, their new song, Handyman.
All right. Here's Becky.
All right. I'm a sinner, I must consider, I am my father's son. I'm a sinner, I must consider, I've never owned a gun. I'm a sinner, seasoned beginner, lucky to be alive. I'm a sinner, finish my dinner, now I can go outside. If only yesterday.
All right.
Maybe tomorrow. Sure.
Very okay. Good. Right. I like that song, too. Thank you very much. Wow, this is a tough one, you guys. I mean, I had a couple of clear favorites.
Same.
I love Jenna doing the panic.
Same.
I love
Jade.
Jade doing the bishop. So what do we do about that? How do we resolve this situation?
Can we do a drawing just between Jenna and Jade?
I mean...
Can we?
I mean, I assume we can.
I don't know. I don't know how the rules work. We may have to check with Dave.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, we can.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do a drawing between those two.
Oh, it's going to break my heart that somebody's going to be that good and not get to go, but we only have one pair of tickets for right now. We will have more coming up just after 9 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean Showdown.
The winner is Jenna.
Jenna! Hold on. Hold on, Sal. I went to the wrong one.
Oh, Sal.
Jenna, congratulations.
Oh,
you got the tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Rose.
Oh, my God. That's so great because she was really good.
Well done, and thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Rokey. Listen to Rokey. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Rokey. Listen to Rokey. You thought them were lame.
Comedian Frank Caliendo joins us just after the top of the hour. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Let me tell you something you don't know about Frank. You know him, of course, as a great comedian and impressionist, Kevin. But did you know that he is a world-class competitive ping pong player?
Oh, Kevin, it's on.
I did know that.
It sounds like it might be on.
Oh,
do we still have the ping pong table here at K-Rock?
No.
Oh,
because I think I could probably take him down.
Well, we'll find out. We'll smack talk with Frank about ping pong coming up right out at the top of the hour. First, though, Tuesday morning, Allie's here. What's happening?
Well, from the high of ping pong to something that Kevin hates so very much, but I love it. It's Royal Watch.
Ladies and gents, it's time for a royal wedding update, where we give you useless information that nobody should give a f*** about, but inexplicably do. It's Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018.
Why do Kevin and now Omar hate love?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't hate love, just
that's
hate the royal
what we're about. There's just there are a couple of crazy kids. There are a couple of crazy kids who want to tie the knot. Come on.
Ugh.
Let's support them and root for them.
Ugh.
Kevin, I don't want to put you on the spot, having Frank Caliendo in the other room, an amazing impressionist. But if you could, give us a little Queen.
Hello!
I mean.
That's it.
Nailed it.
That's all I got.
Nailed it. All right, only 19 more days until the royal wedding of Prince Harry to Meghan Markle. Do you know anything about the dress code for the wedding?
No.
Well, hats must be worn in church.
Sure.
Meghan Markle's bouquet must have myrtle in it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's the herb of love. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get the feeling she doesn't have a choice in any of this.
Not so much.
There's a lot of tradition involved when you marry into that family.
Right.
Yeah. Tradition is the wedding dress should be made by a British designer.
Okay.
And I'm thinking if you're an American, you have the British designer do it just so nobody comes after you. Prince Harry will be in military garb.
Okay.
Neutral nail polish only.
Well, of course. What are they, animals?
That's what I'm saying. Nude tights must be worn. Bare legs simply will not be tolerated by the monarchy.
Okay, now let me stop you right there with this list of restrictions.
Yes.
Does the royal guard just show up and start dragging ladies out if they show up with bare legs under their skirts?
Oh, you're coming to my side now, aren't you, Bean?
Right?
No, I'm just asking.
This is ridiculous.
How do they police something like that?
And I will tell you this.
The queen picks them up over her head and throws them out herself.
I'll tell you this. Pantyhose suck. They're the worst.
Right?
So the fact that you have to wear those, give me a break. And here's something that I was like, wait, what?
I said one fact. This seems like a lot.
No wedge heels. The queen hates wedges.
Is it the queen's day? No, it isn't.
I'm just saying.
Thus, I hate it.
No one allowed to wear wedge heels.
That was Kevin and Bean's Royal Wedding Update 2018. You.
I supported Allie, and I hope there are fun facts every day leading up to the wedding.
I hope so as well. I really do. You know when people post pictures of their child's artwork, and you're like, we get it. Yeah, your kid's Picasso. Gross. Well, celebrities tend to do it quite a bit. And now the only celebrity I will accept children's artwork from is Jennifer Garner, because she posted her child's artwork, 6-year-old son Samuel. Well, it was only a blue sticky note, but it's the words. So special, just so loving, and something every mom wants to hear. Little 6-year-old Samuel just wrote the words, "I love farts," on a blue sticky note. So...
love it.
Jennifer Garner posted it. She said, focus on the little things that make you happy, just in case Monday got you down. And then she hashtagged the post with, proud mom. I kind of love her for that. That is excellent.
That is awesome.
Amen to that.
Right?
Right.
I love farts. Good stuff. Well, a couple of lawsuits announced yesterday in the ongoing battle with disgraced film producer Harvey Weinstein. In the first lawsuit, Ashley Judd is suing Harvey, claiming that her career pretty much stopped because he spread lies about her in Hollywood after she rejected his sexual requests. In a second lawsuit, director Quentin Tarantino claims he's owed more than $4 million in royalties from the Weinstein Company for his work on 4 projects. And then the Hollywood Reporter says Jennifer Lawrence, Jake Gyllenhaal, Rachel McAdams, and Leonardo DiCaprio are also among the number of stars asking that the company does not sell its assets. They're valued at more than $300 million until they've all had a chance to examine the company's finances, because all of those people are owed money. What?
Wow.
Wow. How are you? What? How are you not getting paid for your work? And this goes back to DiCaprio wants to know about money from Django Unchained. Gyllenhaal and McAdams want to know about their money from Southpaw, and Jennifer Lawrence from Silver Linings Playbook. I mean, these are not recent movies. They have not been paid in years.
Is this creative bookkeeping on the part of...
That's what it sounds like.
Sounds like. Ugh.
Oh, I'm sorry. That movie didn't make any money.
Just come on. Guy becomes a bigger scumbag every single day. Not good. Hey, how about some birthdays? People love being born. Actress Julie Benz, actor Jamie Dornan, director Wes Anderson, and again, if you're just joining us, Ray Parker Jr. You know him, you love him from such hits as Ghostbusters.
Something strange in the neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
But some people know him and don't really love him by getting ice cream chucked at their face. Like one Donna, Bean's wife. Explain when and how this happened and how you still listen to his music.
Look, I'm not going to put a lifetime ban on a great artist just because he one time threw ice cream at my wife. But she was working at Magic.
It's different if you hear a story about a celebrity mistreating somebody.
This is your wife.
Look, I wish he hadn't done it. I really do. But it happened. And we all have to move past that ugly incident. Donna was working at Magic Mountain. It was one of her first jobs. She was 15 years old. And she was running the ice cream booth. And he came up. And I don't remember what the specifics were. He either wanted extra ice cream and she made him pay. Or he wanted some flavor they didn't have or something. But he threw a little bit of a tantrum and hurled ice cream at her and got in her hair. She had to change her uniform. And, I mean, it did, to be fair, it did scar her for a long time. It was the worst thing an adult had ever done to her at that point. And I think it was very tough for her.
But not for you.
Not for me. I'm still in.
You're good.
Life's for the living, right?
So Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday is a very painful day around my house because later today I will insist on playing some music.
Mm.
And we just have to deal with it. We just have to work through it.
Good luck with that.
That's what's happening.
Less than 1 hour from right now, another chance for you to win tickets in the fourth row for the 26th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast. It's happening a week from Saturday at StubHub Center to see Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, Rise Against, and all the rest. Tickets are on sale now if you want to get them at Access.com where you can win them coming up at 9 a.m. Hey, Frank Caliendo.
Hey.
Was that... What's going on, my friend? Long time no see. Yeah. I can't even remember. We've talked to you on the phone a few times, but I can't remember the last time you were in the room. This is exciting.
I would bet it's been a couple of years.
It has, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
lot of things have changed. Tremendous amount of things have actually changed. It's gotten incredibly different.
I was trying to explain something to somebody about... I remember when I would make references that people didn't make or didn't understand. I would talk about things from Star Wars... and comic books.
Right.
And nobody would get the jokes. And now everybody's making it a vibranium joke. Everybody's talking about smaller characters from Star Wars. It's amazing how that's changed.
Now they're nitpicking your jokes as not being specifically accurate enough.
Right?
That doesn't follow the theory of Jedi mind, the council.
Were you a comic book geek?
I wouldn't say comic. I like cartoons, and I would watch them more after the original. I would call it the original Spider-Man series and stuff like that. So I knew a lot of the characters, but not so much the comics directly. But I would know just enough to mention the Vulture or something like that.
Right. And get a blank stare,
and get the stare. But now everybody, that's Spider-Man 2. He was portrayed by none other than everybody's comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Right,
so you're watching that, and like you said, if you're not accurate on things, people start to point it out to you, and they just come after you too.
Oh, very seriously. Now, have you been keeping up with? As Kevin has all the Marvel movies. Do you love them and can't wait for every one that comes out?
Yeah, I really look forward to it. The Infinity War was fantastic.
It was amazing, right?
I was just blown away by it. I keep wanting DC to be better. I'm good with them,
right?
But I just want them to be where Marvel is, and I think it's
sure.
Deadpool the way that they're just making fun of everything, and they are so breaking the fourth wall is fantastic. That Ryan Reynolds has become—he's
perfect.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he started out; he was kind of Jim Carrey-ish, right? In the first one, I was like, feeling a little freaky, fella. He seemed like he was almost in that, and now he's just become himself. And even if you've ever seen his tweets, you're like, holy cow, he's just Deadpool all the time.
He really
he's
is
hilarious.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how funny.
Are there too many Avengers, though, Frank?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, way too many, but who cares?
Right?
Okay.
Somehow they squeezed them all in Infinity War, and they did service to all of them, I thought. They didn't throw away any.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I enjoyed the whole thing, and I a lot of times I judge it too on what my kids think. And both kids thought it was great. So
I had an 11 or 12 year old in front of me fall asleep during that movie.
Really?
What does it take? What does it take to entertain you?
Yeah, what do you want?
It was all explosions and fighting and everything else, but it also made sense.
You want another Infinity Stone?
Frank Caliendo, our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, he's in town playing the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 p.m. Tickets are available improv.com. 18 and up, please, to see the great Frank Caliendo on stage. Because of your schedule and all the traveling you do with dates all over the country, Frank, do you get into town in time that you can, like, go see an afternoon matinee or something like that?
No. I mean, I go and do radio in the morning. I'm here.
Which you hate?
Yeah. No. Okay. No, this is great. The interesting thing here is, like, I'll go to different stations around the country, right? And they will just – they never talk to me the whole time. And that's kind of what this whole tour is about. I'm doing smaller clubs, mostly on weeknights, to go work on stuff and talking around the impressions.
I was going
to
say, there's not a lot of Tuesday night gigs.
Yeah, and that's – and it's kind of to have a smaller audience to go and play and not care as much. Some of it's for bigger fans, because if you're going to come out on a Tuesday – you really want to see what's going on.
Right.
And I'm finding – this is the sad part. I'm finding people are more interested in me doing weird different things than what I've been doing the past 10 years. So I'm like, it's going to be a different type of show, looser, working on things, talk around the impressions more. And people are like, oh, I don't want to see the regular show. I want to see what, I want to see you fail a bunch. I mean, there's just some reality to that, because I've said – I pitched it that way to people. I'm like, listen, I'm going to take some chances, and it's going to be still a bunch of impressions in there, but I'm going to talk around the impression some, maybe compare Donald Trump to my grandpa, that type of thing.
Right.
Because
so the impression will still be there, but just
right.
Not-
it'll be there, and then make that comparison, because you just talk about, you know, you look at Trump, he's 71 years old. He's just not thinking. When I'm 71, I'm going to say whatever I want to.
Yeah, true.
And I will have no problem lying
but
to
you
people.
Won't be the president.
Right, right. We don't know. We don't know.
We're pretty sure.
There's a chance with
we're
the track
sure.
that we're on. The track, right. We could have an impressionist
anyone?
President.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're going back in time. Back to me, I'm president again. I might be an Avenger. I'm a shapeshifter.
That's all true.
Was President Obama the hardest president to do impersonations of, Frank?
I think there's a lot of difficulty there. You have an important – he's so important in terms of culture, right? Because the first black president
– but that also came fraught with potential landmines for a white comedian
absolutely.
To impersonate the president.
Yeah, I remember being very careful.
You're white?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Let me be clear. That's what I would talk about. The cadence with him.
He would talk slow at the beginning and speed up at the end.
And that's kind of where I'd leave it. I wouldn't go too far into anything. But he's a very eloquent speaker, too. So it was almost making – we're totally the opposite now. We had from a guy who's – speaking was such I don't even know what his level was, but it seemed like the highest level of speaking.
He seemed like the hardest guy in the room.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not. I got to believe he's a pretty smart guy.
Sure.
But with Trump, I've read he speaks in a third grade – at a third grade level.
Hold on now. He has all the best words.
A lot of them. Tremendous. He can describe a word with the same word. It's tremendously tremendous. Who else does? Nobody else can do that. He gets away.
I'm a really smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a
really, really smart guy who has a lot of different words that I use. Good.
What I like about the president is what I like about Kevin, which is when they start a sentence, they have no idea where it's going to end.
Yeah, well, there is.
That's true.
That's true.
It's like watching a high wire act, as you never know how it can go bad.
Yeah, there's an element to that.
There's a tiny difference, though, in my influence is a little bit less than the president.
Well, right. It's very specific. It's very specific, right. And you're doing a tremendous job.
Thank you.
And let me say this: right now, the ratings are going through the roof. This is the best interview you guys have ever had.
Because of your appearance.
That's why else you're here every day. I'm here once in a while.
All right, Frank Caliendo is here. You can see him on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 p.m. Improv.com. Frank, when we come back, among other things, we need to talk about your heretofore unknown to me.
competitive ping pong abilities.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hear you take it pretty seriously.
I do, but I love the picture you found of me. I look like I swallowed a table.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that because I know you have lost some weight, but that photo must have been taken, how long ago was that?
Probably around 2008.
Well, I apologize for that.
Literally the eight. I ate a lot. Holy cow.
More with Frank right after this on K-Rock.
Look, you don't hear a lot of comedians that are doing a show on a Tuesday night.
No, you don't.
But yeah. Frank Caliendo is one of those. He's doing it at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 p.m.
I am fascinated, especially for your fans, Frank, who have seen you before, not knowing what they're going to get when they walk in tonight. That's going to be fun for both of you.
Yeah,
I'm
trying to get rid of some of the insecurities, because I can always go to an impression.
I feel like if you're bombing, you know you have that out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll still use it tonight.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some people have a crutch. I have a full-on wheelchair that somebody's pushing me around in. But I watch Norm MacDonald's one of the guys that I go, I just watch him and go, he doesn't care. And
yeah.
How do you get there? Because he can do jokes, and you're going, this isn't a joke yet. And why is it funny? I'd be like, you ever go to the grocery store? And for some reason, grocery store is funny.
It's the way he says it?
Yeah,
it's
how he does it. Because he's got that little smirk on his face, and I just think he's a genius, but he doesn't care. He will talk about a can of Coke for 5 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
And some of us will be laughing hysterically, and people will be like, is he going to ever get off the Coke material?
So it's so interesting to me that somebody like you, who I consider at the top of your game, a guy who's been doing it a long time with great success, is still dissatisfied with where you're at
art form. I can't – here's the difficulty for me, because I want to try and act and get somewhere. I don't even want to do big parts. I just want to do small things. But I'm so typecast. I'm pigeonholed.
Sure.
As not just the impression guy, as the sports impression guy.
Ah.
That's what everybody thinks of me. If you try and develop something, I try to develop a couple different shows, it gradually becomes Frank the sports guy, no matter how the show starts out. I'm like, but I'm trying to not do that. I want to be just a regular human being.
Is it laziness on the part of Hollywood or the people that matter that make decisions
there's a business side
of
to
course.
It, right? You know, you have to understand that.
But
was laziness on my part, though. I mean, I totally take responsibility for that, because for 10, 15 years, all I have done was really sports television. So
yeah.
I can't really get mad. And people say, well, why didn't you do anything else? I go, I was making so much money, I was really happy to do it.
Right.
And now I've got enough that I can go out and still make a good amount of money, but I can try and be something different. I spent the first 10 years being the guy who does the John Madden impression. I was even selling the Madden guy was what I was trying, just to sell tickets. And he's not even in the video game anymore.
That's true.
They bought his name out because they couldn't sell the game, right, without his name on it. But they didn't want him in the game because nobody knew who he was in the game anymore. And I've pigeonholed myself as a guy who does an impression of a sportscaster named John to a guy who does an impression of a sportscaster named John with John Gruden. So it's like,
wow.
I'll tell you what, man. We're all Raiders coaches. And he's in it. But they become circular. People said to me, when you do Gruden, he's not on ESPN anymore. I'm like, well, that's great. Because now he can be on every network saying something ridiculous like, we're not going to use technology like GPS. Why not? That's nothing to do with football. You still have to get to practice.
Hey, speaking of football, and I'm not going to forget about the ping pong. We'll get there. But speaking of football, I heard recently that you played for the NFL owners Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Is that easy crowd or tough crowd?
Horrific. Because there's nothing to relate with them in terms of, you're like, you ever been to Walmart? I own the competitor. Don't talk about them. You know, what are you going to do? Roger Goodell sitting in the front row. And I opened up saying, in the 15 years I've been on television talking about football, sports and football, I've never done a Roger Goodell impression. And he looked at me, and I go, and I'm not going to start tonight. And he gave me a one-man standing ovation. And I had maybe 15 anthem jokes that I didn't do because I hadn't been paid yet. So Mark, I can't think of his name, the owner of the Raiders.
Mark Davis.
So Mark Davis is in the back corner. I start out doing some Gruden stuff, and I'm messing around with Mark Davis. After the show, I go up to talk to him, and I'm like, I'm sorry I'm messing with you so much. He's like, can you believe I gave John Gruden $10 million a year? That's crazy! crazy. I'm like, are you a car salesman from 1976? Like, he's really talking. He was the nicest guy because on TV he looks kind of scary. Like, looks mean. He looks like there's special effects makeup on him, right? Yeah. But super nice. And he's just talking about that. He's like, we're going to bring you out to do some John Gruden for the team. I'm like, don't you think there's going to be enough Gruden? Case in point, yes. Are you $10 million a year? That would be crazy. How much would that be? $20 million a year? And I tried to talk to Jerry Jones, too.
I was going to ask you about Jerry Jones.
He did that thing where he's always starting a new conversation with somebody else every time I come near him.
So like, he's not talking to somebody. You walk up and all of a sudden
like blatant lean in, leg over leg, cross. Like he wasn't interested in what the other person was saying until I came near. I was like, come on. And I wasn't.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to him?
No, I didn't. A couple years ago when I was at Fox, I had the chance. Jerry Jones, it was John Madden and George W. Bush. It was the Packers. Packers-Pittsburgh Super Bowl is the word I couldn't come up with.
Okay.
That's crazy!
Maybe you should try it at a grocery store. They were trying to get me in there. I got past the Secret Service. I was let in and everything, but they didn't want to interrupt them talking to Jerry. So I had this opportunity. Fox was all set up with the cameras. I could have been like, how you doing?
Hey, I'm hungry.
Just make up whatever I want.
Right.
But Jerry's like, I believe I am the most important person in the room. So it's like, yeah. So I never got the opportunity. And that would have been, I just think, the greatest. Because at that time, both those people were still pretty relevant.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right. Before we're out of time.
Cowboys ruin everything, right? Who's with me?
What?
Cowboys ruin everything.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Right. We're all with you.
Before we run out of time, how did you get to be a competitive ping pong player, Frank Kelly?
I've just played in some tournaments.
How competitive are you?
You get beat. It's the most embarrassing thing in the world because you get beat by an 8-year-old kid who's been training since they were 4, can't see over the table. But then the dad knows who I am, so they want to take a picture with me afterward. So it's like they're holding up the fish and I'm the fish, you know?
So you beat 21-2 and he wants to take a picture.
Well, they only play to 11 now, I'm going to be factually accurate here.
No fake news. There'll be no fake news in the table tennis.
It's really bad.
You're a tournament player, though.
I have played in some tournaments. Judah Freelander's really good.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. He's very good. There's a few.
We're not up on our ping pong world.
Yeah, not a lot of people are.
You know. You need a celebrity tournament. They would put that on the Ocho.
Wait, yeah, right. Well, they always ask me, like, USATT, United States Association
Table Tennis.
Table Tennis. Yeah. So what I don't know acronyms.
Sure.
I can barely say it.
They ask you to start.
They always want to do like a celebrity thing. I'm like, well, what you need is somebody really famous who's pretty good at ping pong,
right?
And if you don't know, ping pong is a name brand. It's like Q-tip. Did you know that?
I did.
So you have to call it table tennis.
Have to, but table tennis is the game. They don't care. But, and then, in the 80s, people cared, and now they're like, just whatever.
Kevin, who's the celebrity? Remember a few years ago there was a lot of talk about Hollywood ping pong palace or something like that, like Susan Sarandon or something.
She had a piece in it, and it's Spin.
Spin, right. That was the name of the
there you go.
Mondrian,
yeah.
And I think Clayton Kershaw
Kershaw does a huge charity tournament every year.
Yeah. Oh, you got to get on that, Frank.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
We'll back you.
Right?
It's ping pong. Wait,
are there backers?
Hey, you guys have any? I didn't bring any sweatshirts. You guys have any sweatshirts? You got anything around here? I got to go on do Rich Eisen's NFL Network show. I thought maybe I'd wear a K-Rock shirt.
I mean,
shirt or something
well, look.
On there.
Okay.
Was that terrible for me to ask?
You
I should have asked
mine.
That off the air.
No, that's fine. It was all good.
I'm that much of a scavenger.
No, it was fine. It was all good.
It was weird. Right. I know. I saw the look on your face. Like, what is he doing?
Well, no, I was trying to figure out if we had something
Okay, because I just thought you were realizing how much of a moron I am.
No.
Hard times for Frank.
Yeah. I forgot. I had brought a sweatshirt, and I lost it on the plane or something, so I don't know.
We'll look for one. If we have one, it's all yours.
Yeah.
Frank will be at the Irvine Improv tonight at 8 p.m. for a show. Unlike any other, improv.com. Tickets on sale now, 18 and up. Before you go, 60 seconds with Frank Caliendo.
All right, now I want you to do impressions, and I'm going to say the impression that I want, but then give the answer for yourself.
Okay.
All right. 60 seconds. Here we go. Charles Barkley, what were you like in high school?
I was a really rotund young man, but a lot of fun.
Morgan Freeman, what's the most embarrassing TV show you enjoy?
Well, I guess that would be The Housewives of Just About Anywhere.
President Trump, what's the last thing you Googled?
Myself. A lot of times.
I don't know if you do Peter Griffin, but can you recreate Peter Griffin actually talking about you on Family Guy?
I love that guy.
Okay. Adam Sandler, what movie can you rewatch every time you come across it?
I really like, The Shape of Water.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you, Robert De Niro?
That I'm a big talker.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, you are or are not a fan of the word moist?
Yes!
Jerry Seinfeld, what fashion trend do you just not get?
Hats! I don't get them! Why are you covering up your head?
John Madden. Oh, I just got to John Madden.
Boom!
Yeah!
Boom!
Frank, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets are on sale now through AXS.com. The show is a week from Saturday. If you want to be there in the fourth row, hang on. We got your tickets coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, this is Bean speaking, by the way, back for day two after my extended hiatus. And let me tell you something I learned while I was gone. The kids love Ted Stryker.
Agreed.
The kids love Ted Stryker, who was generous enough to come in and get up in the middle of the goddamn night to do this show while I was gone. And I'll always be forever grateful for that. And I'm delighted to say we've got Ted on the phone. Ted, how are you, son?
Good morning, Bean, Kevin, and Allie. And Bean, welcome back to the station.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you know how appreciated you are by your fellow coworkers and the listeners. And I didn't know what was going on with you, and I was so worried. And when I got to talk to you on text while you were gone, that made me feel better. And I think we've all learned over the last couple of years how serious mental health is, and to know that you're back and you're working, and I hope happy, that makes me and the listeners and the crew at K-Rock very happy. And it was like an honor to be on the Kevin and Bean show. I couldn't believe I was on your show.
Well, I appreciate every word that you just said and right back at you. And I certainly got a tremendous amount of support, not only from the many, many listeners, as we talked about yesterday, but from all the people that work here at K-Rock. I mean, Kat Corbett checking in on me, Nicole checking in on me, you checking in on me, everybody here on the show, except for Beer Mug. He's a dick. But, I mean, I really did feel the love, and I'm glad I took that time, and I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to catch up with you, because we had so many listeners who said, I'm excited for Bean to come back, but don't lose touch with Stryker, because we miss him. We're going to miss him so much when he's not on, so this is awesome that you're making an appearance here today.
He's straight crazy, Bean.
Well, that's what I learned. I started seeing, you know, I never listen to the show when I'm out, and this time was no exception, but I did still keep track of some things on social media, and I kept seeing every day it seemed like people were gobsmacked about some other weird thing they found out about you. Apparently you having a tail is like the 11th weirdest thing about you.
I think that is. But to me, all these weird things or quirks, I don't even remember what I said on the Kevin and Bean show, because it's normal talk to me. This is stuff that happens in my everyday life. I got an argument with my wife this morning because she heard a commercial on your show that I was doing a poker tournament Sunday. And then she flat out said, look, all day long you call me and tell me how much water you drank, about lizards you saw on the ground, how many times the dog has pooped. She's like, I'm only really listening to you, to be honest, 80% of the time.
Did Stryker develop some sort of a thing where he had to call you, Kevin, like 10 times a day?
He did leave a lot of messages for me.
What's that about?
They were all different. And I couldn't understand, and I couldn't have loved it more. And I'm upset because he stops leaving me voicemails now.
Well, if I'm allowed to leave the voicemails, I'll get back on that as soon as something hits me that I would like to call you about. But one of the things that I loved about being on the show, you guys, was actually talking to humans face-to-face. It was so fun to be in there and just unload verbally with everybody.
Here's one of the messages that he left for me, Bean.
Ted, you're an idiot. We're at the Merv Griffin house.
Whoop, that's not it. Sorry. That's me leaving a message for Stryker calling you an idiot.
That's the opposite.
That's very different.
Ted, do you have OCD? Is that part of where your quirks come from?
I don't think it's OCD. I just think my brain goes very fast, and it always has. And
I don't think. I've never been diagnosed with that. Okay. I'm a psychiatrist, though, but I don't think I have OCD.
All right, we were talking about deal breakers that are meaningless, tiny little deal breakers, mm-hmm. and they shouldn't be a deal breaker in a relationship, but they have become that.
Yeah.
Allie had thumbs.
Yeah, if you have, like, weird toe thumbs, I'm not into it. But then we glanced over, and he had, like, three pages of notes.
Here's the first one, Bean, of insignificant deal breakers for couples. This is the first one Stryker had.
These are deal breakers. I'm not saying I've broken up with people over this, because normally I'm not the one breaking up. They have broken up with me. But number one, doesn't like chimpanzees.
What?
I love chimpanzees in overalls and striped shirts, and if a girl wasn't into it, I'm like, you're done.
Number one.
I mean, we weren't expecting that.
Mm-mm.
Has that ever come up in conversation with a date or a potential date, Ted?
I was frustrated at a girl in the past because she was confusing an orangutan, which is the animal from that Clint Eastwood movie many years ago, and a chimpanzee, which was Michael Jackson's animal.
Right,
and I was just very frustrated, and I'm a big fan of both of those animals, but especially chimpanzees, because one time in my life I got to hold one's hand and feed him a banana, and if they dislike that, that's just, I can't have that.
But how's that number one on your list is what we're asking. How's that the first one?
I mean, it should
be satisfying.
Like serial killers should be ahead of that.
Sure.
As a deal breaker.
No, we were talking about insignificant deal breakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
True or false, Ted, and again, this is something I may have read incorrectly on the social media. You have never had peanut butter or coffee.
That is 100% true.
Impossible, sir.
It's not. I've never had a Reese's Pieces. I've never had peanut butter. I've never had a peanut butter cookie, and I've never had coffee.
Insane.
How come?
I don't. First of all, the only hot liquid that I like is when I'm sick, matzo ball soup, or if I have a lot of time, it's the hot chocolate at K-Rock. But it just takes too long to drink coffee, and I don't really like it that much. The smell in particular, so I don't even put it in my mouth. Never had it once. I've made it in life this far. I don't need it. And the peanut butter, I just don't like the texture or the smell of that either.
It's a texture thing.
But yeah. When you were like 3 years old, didn't your mom make you a peanut butter sandwich at some point, like all moms do?
I had cream cheese sandwiches.
Ugh. Why didn't your mom like you?
All right, what else did I miss from Ted?
I mean, it's hard to even remember all of it.
Yeah, it was like every day he would say something, and we'd be mid-conversation, and he'd just let something slip in. And then all of a sudden we'd be like, whoa, 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 hold on, back up. What are you talking about,
all right,
Stryker?
Let me ask Stryker a question, and then, Bean, I think you'll get part of what the magic was. Stryker, would you please recap for us Splash with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Louis Anderson? Okay, go ahead. Recap that. Go ahead. Okay, but recap it. What happened?
It was Stryker's greatest day ever, apparently.
He told us twice, Bean, and he couldn't get through it either time.
Louis. Guys, I'm so sorry. I can't do it.
All right, Ted.
They were supposed to dive, synchronize dive at the same time, and they just both fell basically at different times. And he's like, how did they practice that? How did they come down to that? It was such a funny visual. But he couldn't get through the story ever.
Because Jay had the 7'1" Hall of Fame basketball player and Louis Anderson for some reason on a high dive. Doing a synchronized dive.
It's a pretty great idea. All right, Ted. Well, we couldn't love you any more than we do right now. Thank you again for all the fill-in work, and hope to see you around real soon. All right, my friend?
I hope to see all of you very soon, and I'm so glad you're back, Bean, and thanks to the K-Rock crew for being so welcoming and to the listeners who have been so nice, and I'll talk to you guys on K-Rock at 2 today.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Stryker. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
About 5 minutes away from your tickets in the fourth row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast for a week from Saturday. Stand by. First, what's happening, Allie?
Austin City Limits has released their 2018 festival lineup. It's 2 weekends in October, and they're not joking around.
Okay.
Out there in Austin. at the city limits. Paul McCartney, Metallica,
whoa,
Childish Gambino, Arctic Monkeys,
wow,
Travis Scott, The National, David Byrne, Churches, Deftones, St. Vincent, Janelle Monáe, Bourne's, Greta Van Fleet, ex-ambassadors, Bishop Briggs, what?
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Not on these top lines, okay. Possibly.
That's quite a list.
My God. Right?
Yeah.
Who wants to go to Austin?
For the whole thing? I will.
I mean, for the festival.
Sure.
Yeah. Have some barbecue.
Sure.
Pet a horse.
Love Austin.
Just assume there's random horses just strolling
Shelley
around.
Goddamn Kapowski.
She is not on here. But that's not bad, right?
Not a bad list.
Not bad at all.
Ted Parrot Man.
Not on the list. I know you've had an assful of him, Kevin, and I get it.
Of who?
Yodel Kid.
Oh, dear God.
But he is now officially a global superstar. And he's got enormous Spotify numbers to prove it. As of yesterday, Mason's got a whopping 2.1 million streams and counting to become the most streamed country singer and country song globally on Spotify.
He is a dick.
That's insane. By the way, the song that he originally did in the middle of the Walmart,
right.
Lovesick Blues by Hank Williams, that song is up by more than 2,000%. That's a nice little boost for streams on that song that probably nobody really knew about. And by the way, also number one on iTunes in the U.S. and the U.K. for country music.
I don't get it.
This is insane.
I don't get it.
This is a 11-year-old kid that just wore a cute little hat and some boots and yodeled in a Walmart.
That's it.
That's it.
I've heard that's enough from him now.
I don't know. I mean, he's famous. That's his song. Famous. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay.
Boopy dee scoop.
Yeah.
Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop.
He needs to work on his lyrics. Because this is dumb.
Whoopy dee scoop whoop poop. Poop dee dee whoop scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop dee dee whoop.
Right?
I mean, we joke and we say we can't believe this 11-year-old kid is famous for that. What did we just listen to from Kanye?
Kanye West song?
I mean, we are a damaged nation.
Here's the little kid.
If I'm gonna be famous for something, I wanna be famous for loving you. If I'm gonna be known around the world, I wanna be 'cause of you, girl. Nothing wrong with the center of attention. Long as I'm with you, I don't mind the pictures. If I'm gonna be famous for something, girl, I wanna be famous for loving you.
I mean, clearly written by someone else, clearly. As he's 11.
I bet you can feel that.
Please.
Right?
I like it. The country music is so good.
Mm-hmm. 2.1 million streams on Spotify. Number one, US and UK on the country charts.
All right.
I mean. And really, I'm sorry to bring you this horrible news about the double elimination on last night's Dancing with the Stars athletes. But Johnny Damon and snowboarder Jamie Anderson, they're both gone.
As long as Kareem's still on.
He is still on, even though he had the lowest score, a 17 out of 30 for the cha-cha-cha. But
have you seen the video? He doesn't.
Oh, it is something.
He literally doesn't dance.
He stands there, and you'll see his feet move.
A little.
But nothing from the waist up moves, including his face. It's just this permagrin, and there are just people dancing around
him. He's got like 15 people dancing around him, but he does almost nothing but smile, and I approve.
It
and
is
I hope
magic.
He wins the mirror basketball or whatever their trophy is.
I think it's a mirror ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, it's the judges' votes tallied along with the audience for the initial night. That's how he wound up staying in with the lowest score. So God bless that audience, right? F you, Johnny Damon. See ya.
Well, it helps that the competition is held in Los Angeles, where he played all those years.
Yeah, true.
That is true. And everyone hates the Yankees, right?
Of course.
Right? They don't remember the good times with old Johnny D on the Red Sox, huh?
Those are good times for people in L.A., where is it?
Some birthdays for you. Mm-hmm. Actor Jamie Dornan, director Wes Anderson, actress Julie Benz, and singer Ray Parker Jr. And when we come back for the next hour, I'm going to share with Bean a text I got from his wife.
All right.
Oh, no.
His wife that was... Hit in the head with ice cream.
All right. I told you it's a painful day for her. It's a terrible anniversary for her every year.
Well, you are not helping. That's what's happening.
Congratulations to Cindy Osperlind from Long Beach. Just got tickets in the fourth row for the Weenie Roast, which is 1 week from Saturday.
Got them for you every hour all day long today from 9 a.m., which is the one that Cindy just won, all the way up until, let's say, 6.
I mean, it says 5, but you can say 6 if you want.
All right, 5. 5's better. I didn't know. I was just guessing. Hey, I need your help with something here, Kevin, and I think you may have it. I don't know how it works with other people that go through depression, but for me, all I did for the last 5 weeks was eat.
Oh.
Was eat. I mean, I was eating 5 meals a day. I just couldn't. I was hungry all. I don't know why. I'm sure it has some sort of do with some sort of compensation going on in your brain when one area is doing being weird, the other area wants to do something else.
Did you take any medication? Any medication changes? Because
I was adjusting medication left and right like every few days. But the constant for me was how hungry I was, and I bet no kidding. Since before this week when I was on the Kevin Beach, I bet I gained 12 pounds.
Wow,
probably. It's insane. It's crazy. I'm still dealing with that. But I'm also a guy who doesn't like to exercise.
Right.
But it sounds like you've come up with the perfect solution for me.
I mean, it wasn't me, but I have discovered in Bourne, Texas, they have not a 5K to raise money for charity, but a 0.5K.
That sounds doable.
This is being advertised as fellow underachievers. We'll gather in Bourne May 5th, and they will run a 0.5 mile. A 0.5K, which is 526 yards.
Okay.
That's it. Here's the report.
Running a 5K for charity is admirable, but what if you really, really hate running?
By the way, that's a really good point, because there are a lot of people who couldn't run a 5K.
No.
Sure.
And you wouldn't even consider getting into that just because it's not your world, you don't do it. But if you don't feel like running, I mean, this is your answer.
Well, the town of Bourne, Texas has got your back, setting up a 0.5K instead, and it's all for a good cause. Proceeds will benefit Blessings in a Backpack, which works to provide weekend meals for elementary school children across America who might otherwise go hungry. The Bourne 0.5K is being dubbed the running event for the rest of us.
the running event for the rest of us.
I love that it's for underachievers, by the way. I love that.
Here we go.
So it's the Festivus of charity runs?
Weren't there feats of strength that always ended up with you crying?
You got this, George. A 0.5K is barely more than 0.3 mile. Ironically, the race for underachievers actually overachieve and quickly reach capacity. Organizers are putting run in quotes, but there will be t-shirts, participation medals, and a coffee and donut station halfway through. Plus, participants will be offered a free pint of beer before it starts. So you know it's serious.
Isn't that awesome?
I'm sorry. Beer before it starts and then coffee and donuts? It's halfway through.
In case you get tired.
Unbelievable.
You know how exhausted you are 200 yards in, Allie. Come on.
Oh, I need this.
The race is this Saturday, as Kevin mentioned, in Bourne, Texas. It starts from the Dodging Duck Brew Pub, where participants will be offered a free pint of beer, and then it ends at another brew pub, the Cibolo Creek Brewing Company, which is offering an additional free pint. You have a pint of beer, and then how long does it take you to run 500 yards? I mean, at most... 5 minutes?
I mean, not even. You could
three minutes.
You could walk it in 5 minutes.
And then at the end, you get another pint, and you get to stop in the middle for donuts.
Halfway through, there's a donut station and coffee station that will be set up for carb loading and energy. And then there's also a designated smoking area.
Oh my god!
I think this is the wave of the future, you guys.
I mean,
this
it really is genius because there's almost nobody that couldn't participate.
Right, yeah.
They sold out all of the spots that they had already. Just everything's gone. If you want to do it now, you can't even join.
And the people who are running this race are so much more fun to hang out with than those goddamn marathoners, right?
Agreed.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Jay Milton is the organizer of the event. He is going to end up raising a ton of money for his charity, and we'll have him tomorrow morning to tell us more on the Kevin Bean Show right here.
Boopity scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
Swear.
Whoop-dee-scoop.
Remind you this exists.
Whoop-dee-scoop-dee. Scoop-dee-whoop. Whoopity-scoop-whoop-poop. Poop-dee-dee-whoop-scoop. Poop. Poop.
You rhyme poop with poop, people. Mm-hmm. That's Kanye.
Yep. Allie, you still love it?
I never did. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Best song ever.
I know it's shocking. I think it's awful.
Oh.
I think everything about it's awful.
You don't even know.
Awful.
I'm sorry for the realness.
That's what it is. You just can't take the realness.
I know. It's because he's awesome.
9:36 Tuesday morning. Time for another look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
What's happening? 13 Reasons Why Season 2 will launch on Netflix Friday, May 18th. So maybe you can binge watch that whole thing and then get ready for the royal wedding the next day.
Ugh.
Right, Kevin?
Still royal
wedding.
On the royal wedding.
On the 19th. We're going to have a royal update at least.
I mean, we don't
once
need
a
to.
Morning for you.
We don't need at to least. At all.
All right.
I'd be fine if I got zero updates between now okay. and the 19th.
How about royal adjacent? We're going to talk about The Crown.
The TV show The Crown?
Yes.
Oh, I'm way interested.
Of course you are. You know what happened, the big hullabaloo between the two main actors, Matt Smith. He was a household name, a former Doctor Who, when he signed on to do The Crown. And then Claire Foy, she was a little-known actress when she was cast as Queen Elizabeth II on Netflix. So it did come as a shock to a lot of people, though, that he made more than her. Because then the show became a huge hit, and she's the main star of it. And then turned out he made quite a bit more than her, and people started flipping out. Well, in March, Netflix apologized for all the public attention brought to both stars and their paychecks. And now it appears that Netflix has put their money where their mouths are. They've given Claire Foy $200,000 in back pay. That's allegedly to compensate for the extra 10 grand per episode that Smith was earning over the 20 episodes of The Crown. So,
all right.
Stand down, everyone. Stand down.
And I have two thoughts about this, Allie. Mm-hmm. Number one is a very cool thing for Netflix to do because she's done with The Crown.
Yes, it's over.
Yeah, it's over for her. The show continues now with older actors and actresses playing the roles of the royals. So it's not like they had to do this to make her happy because they need her for season three. They just did this because they're being nice, right?
Right.
The other thing is, the way you set it up at the beginning, is it unreasonable that they would give a much bigger star a bigger paycheck who would actually draw people who know who he is to the show?
Not even a little bit.
Because Claire Foy was not a name that was attractive to anybody. This show is what made her a star.
Nobody knew who she was. That's why this whole thing boggled my mind. Even more so, the petition signed by more than 25,000 people asking Matt Smith to donate his earnings to the Time's Up campaign. F you! Come on! What is happening in this world? Why are we so quick to get so mad at this guy who made a name for himself on Doctor Who, got paid according to that star factor that he had? Now he needs to donate his money to... come on!
That is a weird entitlement that they're trying to make him decide how he spends his money.
We need to do a lot better. And by we... those assholes that signed that petition. Come on.
Right?
That is just insanity.
How many did you say? 50,000?
25,000. Yeah. Can you imagine? He's like, I'm sorry. Give my money. No. No. No.
I'm happy that Claire Foy is such a big star now. And I'll tell you, Kevin, you know she's the new girl with the dragon tattoo. And she's going to be amazing in that role.
Excellent. I love that first one.
However, the dragon made about 10 grand more per episode. Nobody's talking about that. Charlie Sheen, he was once the highest paid star on network TV. He was making $1.8 million per episode on Two and a Half Men. But reports are that he owes Uncle Sam almost $5 million in back taxes.
Wow.
That's from 2015. Yeah, he's now liquidating some real estate, selling his home, cut his child support payments to Denise Richards and Brooke Mueller back in 2016. So it seems like he's hemorrhaged a lot of money.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a multi-million dollar baseball memorabilia collection he could sell?
Yeah, and wasn't he trying to sell some of that a little while ago? That was in the news?
Oh, maybe so, yeah.
I don't know. It's... oof.
Damn.
Right?
Right.
So, Muggs, it's not just you. Is what I'm saying. A little bit.
Winning.
I don't know if you're winning.
Or not.
So much with that. So, do you guys remember, you know, Cardi B is pregnant right now with Offset's child from Migos. I believe she's due later this summer. And then there was word that maybe he got someone else pregnant at the same time. Well, that woman has now had the baby, and her name is Selena Powell. She is charming. She broke the news during a extremely profane rant on Instagram Live, holding up papers with the LabCorp logo and told followers that the rapper was so stupid for taking the paternity test. Her daughter, by the way, named Karma, claims she'll now be getting 15 rock a month from Offset. So that's a good start to that baby's life.
Wow.
That's concerning. So
wow.
That's
that is something.
Yeah. And what's with people Instagramming live either the fight between Ronnie from Jersey Shore and his girlfriend, this lady Instagramming live lab results of a paternity test? People, what's going on in their life?
That is bizarre.
Right? You ever Instagram live?
Yeah, but nothing of a personal nature like that.
Right.
That's really a weird thing to do.
I did Childish Gambino in New York.
I was just going to say, I did.
For a little bit while I was at that concert.
I did Eminem the night before.
Did you really?
I watched both of them.
Excellent. Excellent. I mean, we're doing a service
right.
when we're on Instagram Live. We're
sure.
not fighting with our loved ones. Good God. How about some birthdays for you? Actor Jamie Dornan, director Wes Anderson, actress Julie Benz, and you might recognize this man's song, Ray Parker Jr.
There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
And if one of many great songs from Ray Parker Jr., by the way. Let's
sure.
not just pigeonhole him as the Ghostbusters
no,
guy.
Why would we?
Right?
And why would we even pigeonhole him as the man that basically accosted your wife with ice cream? Could you just revisit that story real quick, Bean?
Well, I mean, the short version of the story is my wife's first job working at Magic Mountain, mm-hmm. Santa Clarita, Valencia. She was 15 years old and selling ice cream at the park. And Ray Parker Jr. was a bad customer who was dissatisfied with the service or the size of his scoop.
So
or
he just
something.
Said, hey, I'm upset about this to her.
No, he actually took ice cream and threw it at her face.
He threw ice cream at her
yes.
face.
And made a teenage girl cry. That's mm-hmm. what happened, yes.
And that teenage girl is now your wife.
That's right.
And you have sworn off any Ray Parker Jr., correct?
I'm still a fan. Mm-hmm. And Ray Parker Jr. did not throw ice cream at me. So I feel like...
wow.
I feel like I'm good to still enjoy him.
Wow. Well, that's how it works.
I will say this. Your lovely wife, Donna, heard you a little while ago.
No.
Yeah. And I got a text that says, I love that I just nursed my husband back to life 24/7 these past 6 weeks, and he can't even stand by me against Ray Parker Jr. What a dick! And
say, this is a colossal disaster.
We are all Team Don on this one. You have got to get rid of any albums, any memories, really, of any good times you've had of Ray Parker Jr. Let
Bean
it go.
If Bean had memories, he would erase them.
That's true. But Bean, come on, take a stand.
Right?
I hear her point.
Uh-huh.
I understand where she's coming from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you can't change that.
It's a Ty Lowe Ray Parker Jr. song.
It's a big hit. I love him, and I did notice it got very cold in here this morning. I was wondering why. Frost coming from upstairs.
You're not a smart guy.
No, true.
Okay.
Sorry, Donna.
I'm so glad he's back. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, LA. The SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers are tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Dave Duchovny joins us again. We want to talk to you if you're crazy about the royal wedding. And there's a lot of people that are really nuts. What's up with Florida tomorrow? And we've got tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast as well. That's coming up tomorrow.